find out everybody that's here. So you want to do a roll call, Ken?
Chris?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Warren?
Let's see here.
And he will be here?
He will be here shortly.
Okay. Thank you. Just let us know when he gets there. Josie's absent today. They're celebrating the
141st.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Daly?
Okay, I'm making sure we have a quorum. So, adoption of the agenda. Any changes or corrections to the agenda? Joined us.
Hold day.
Okay. So, Angela?
Yeah, Kurt and I are here.
Okay. There was two beeps. Somebody else join also?
This is Samantha.
Hi, Warren and King Cole here.
Okay, so the agenda will stand as written.
The amended. The amended. Yeah. Oh, okay, missed that.
So you want to amend it, you said?
Well, I thought somebody did. I missed
no.
Somebody go over there?
How about I'll just make a motion? That'd be okay in order, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I move we adopt the agenda that's before us with the two minor changes under item 7, resolution under the consent agenda, resolution 2016, change the fiscal year from 2018 to 2019, and under item 10, resolutions, renumber resolution 20-14, and change it to resolution 20-22.
Okay. No objections? Hearing none, agenda will stand as corrected. That will be a good time if anybody feels like they have a conflict of interest to anything on the agenda. Okay. Community roll.
Brenda, I don't know if I'd be in conflict with resolutions discussing East Solution Tribes and Cold Bay Clinic since I work for East.
Say again why you thought maybe you might have a conflict of interest?
Because I'm employed by Eastern Aleutian Tribes.
Oh, no. I don't
okay.
think that's a conflict there. It doesn't affect your pocketbook in any way. So, communities. King Cove.
King Cove, we have Chris, Warren, Brenda, and myself.
Okay. Nelson Lagoon. I don't think they're on, right?
Just me.
Oh, right, Sam. Sir. Okay. False Pass. Accutan. There he is. Obey.
Just myself, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor, back to myself, Annie Bailey. We have Charlotte Levy, Mary Teshi, Ernie Weiss, Laura Tannis, Glenora Dushkin, Amber Yusufovich, and Jordan Keeler.
Okay, thank you. And in Sandpoint, we have Tina, myself, Paul Grenell, Ingrid, Carol, Emil. That's it. Okay. Do we have any public that would like to make comments at this time? All right. Before you, you have minutes of August 8th. Have any changes or additions, corrections to the minutes?
Just that one that we talked about in the workshop, that from changing the hovercraft site in Cold Bay to the hovercraft, the old hovercraft site in King Cove.
Correct. Thank you for that. Catching that. Okay, if there's no objections, that will be changed in the minutes. There's no other changes, no objections. Minutes will stand as corrected. Second is that? Correction? Minutes?
Second.
And there was no objections. Okay. Financial report. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Archibald and Assembly, before you are the July 2019 and the August 2019 financials. As I mentioned in the work session, the July financials reflect all the changes that were approved, or reflects the FY20 budget that was approved in May. I do not have any comments on that. It's tracking along like it's supposed to. And then also the August 2019 financials are in here for your review, and just to point out that on the very first page under revenues for raw fish tax, we did receive the July fish tax revenue, which is reflected in our August financials. That was discussed earlier today. So other than that, I don't have anything else, but if you have any questions, please let Roxanne or I know.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Anybody have questions on either July or August? Hearing none. And the we need a motion and a second to accept the July and August financials.
So move. I'll make a motion to accept the July and August financials.
Second.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
So we have a motion by Carol, seconded by Ingrid. So is there any other discussion on the motion? Question on the financial?
Warren?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Just a side note, Annie, you might want to get in contact with Tina later. She wants flashcards or something. Maybe it has something to do with me. Anyway, we have the July investment reports. Take it back for your review. And Annie, did you have anything on the investment report?
No, nothing else to add. Nope.
Okay. Questions on it, Paul?
Just because it's a little later this month than last month, do we have a new one yet available?
Mayor Speck and Assembly, no, I do not receive those until probably next week. I'll get the next month.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none. We need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'd move to accept the consent
agenda. Does Chris make a motion or second if somebody ought to make first?
Okay. Chris, second. So, Annie, would you walk through these? And
yes, Mayor Osterbeck. So I'll start with Resolution 2015, which is authorizing the mayor or designee to negotiate and execute an agreement for managed information technology services with ICE Services, Inc. for an amount not to exceed $30,000. ICE, we hired them last year. Their current contract term ends on September 19th. This will extend it for an additional year. The second year cost estimate is $26,690. And we do share these IT costs with the City of Cape Cove Anchorage office. And so our portion of this is estimated to be approximately $22,490. Any questions on that? Okay. Next resolution is Resolution 2016, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a services agreement with BDO USA LLP to provide professional auditing services to the Aleutians East Borough for fiscal year 2019 in an amount not to exceed $68,250. BDO are our auditors. They recently completed our FY18 audit. We are anticipating to start our FY19 audit here in October. This would authorize us to negotiate a contract with them with a base bid for the FY19 audit work at $58,250 and then an additional $10,000 for travel expenses, out-of-pocket costs, and any unexpected work that needs to be done. So administration recommends the approval of this resolution. Any questions on that? Okay, Resolution 2019 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a deed of easement with the City of Accutan for a portion of Lot 1A, Accutan School Subdivision, at less than fair market value. The borough owns Lot 1A, which contains approximately 1.8 acres in Accutan. The city is in the process of designing a tsunami shelter and community center on land near this location. The city is requesting an easement for approximately 4,004 square feet of the borough's property, enabling the city to create and maintain an access trail that would connect through other parcels of land and allow the public to safely and efficiently access the facility. Since this is government to government, this can be accomplished via resolution, and it's also in our code that the transfer from government to government may be of less than fair market value. Any questions on that? Okay, the next resolutions, 2020 and 2021, are in relation to the October 1st, 2019 regular borough election. 2020 is appointing election judges for the October 1, 2019 regular borough election. And then 2021 is appointing the canvas committee for the October 1, 2019 borough regular borough election, and this is something that we do on an annual basis and needs to be done prior to the election. Are there any questions on those? Okay, with that, that's everything. Mayor Osterbeck, on the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you. Since there were no questions, she went to read to them. I'm going to call the question on the phone.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'm here daily. Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so under item 8, we have public hearings. So I'd look for a motion to bring Ordinance 21 to the floor.
I move to bring Ordinance 2001 to the floor.
Any second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Ms. Carol. So before us, we have Ordinance 2001 authorizing the assignment of certain real properties leased by the AEB, East ADA 07842.
Did we combine 01 and 02 together, so should the motion be for the two of them? They're separate?
Yeah.
Even though it says...
Yeah, they just...
It was easier, I think, for Annie during the workshop to explain them together, because they are actually one depends on the other one.
Paul? Okay.
Yeah, just a quick question. If we received any public letters or comments on these two ordinances.
Okay. Annie, you want to take that, and then you can kind of go through this.
Mayor Spragan Assembly, we have not received any comments from anyone. In writing. Okay, so a brief overview. I am going to go over, even though Ordinance 2001 is on the floor, I'm going to go over both at once. So Ordinance 2001 authorizes the assignment of certain real property leased by the borough, and then Ordinance 2002 authorizes the sale of certain real property owned by the borough. As you know, the Coal Bay School closed in the spring of 2015 and has remained unoccupied. For the past few years, we've been trying to see what we can do with this property, which is located in the Coal Bay Airport Aviation Leasing land. The borough leases the property from the state, and we own the buildings, the school that is on there. So on September 7th, 2016, the borough passed a resolution authorizing the mayor to dispose of the Coal Bay School property by negotiation with federal, state government agencies, local governments, or native tribe or councils at less than fair market value. We issued a request for interest and proposals for this and in November 2016, and we did not, or the city of Coal Bay expressed interest, but that ended up not coming to fruition. So due to that, we went out to bid our request for interest again in July 19, 2018 to federal governments and local governments again, and no submissions were received by the August 16, 2018 deadline. So after consulting with our attorneys, we issued a request for interest and proposals to private and public entities in February 2019. We did receive one response from Aleutian Services, Inc. for the facility, and they have proposed to have the use or to use the lease space as a or to maintain it as a community asset for Coal Bay as a way of community service by their corporation, allowing the gym to be used for community physical activity, promotion with the city, and also use it possibly for classroom space for homeschooled students, possible collaboration with the University of Alaska system, provide space for airline passengers during emergency landings that have regularly occurred in the past few years, provide a space for community activities that require a larger venue, expand office space for Aleutian Services business growth, and they are also proposing to utilize waste heat from their sister company, G&K, to help offset the heating costs to maintain this building. So in order to transfer the state lease from the borough to Aleutian Services, an assignment of the lease needs to occur, which is before you in Ordinance 2001, and the borough also needs to sell the building to Aleutian Services, which is outlined in Ordinance 2002. The borough is proposing to sell the building as is, where is, to Aleutian Services for $10, which is less than fair market value. Administration believes this sale will benefit the community and the borough. If the Assembly approves the ordinances, the proper documentation will be submitted to the State of Alaska Aviation Leasing Department for approval, and then the transfer should be able to occur. Also, per the request of the state, we did request an amendment to the lease to change the authorized uses from a school to the items that Aleutian Services would like to do, and we're currently in a public hearing process that will be completed on October 7th, 2019. So with that, if there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. There's no questions from the Assembly at this time.
One quick question.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map, and the plot, whatever it is, Exhibit A. Which way is the north arrow? I'm trying to find it. On my little computer.
I
I'm not. So the north arrow is actually pointing to the left, like upper left corner. The north arrow is in the left-hand side, upper left.
I see it now. Yeah, my thing jumped every time I tried to move it. But okay, excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like looking at a map on a hat pin. Okay, if there's no other questions from the assembly, I'll go ahead and at this time open the public hearing on Ordinance 20-01. Okay, hearing no public. Public hearing is closed. You want to call a question?
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda. Ingrid.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Haley.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we now have Ordinance 2002 scheduled for a public hearing. A motion and a second to bring it on floor.
I'll make a motion to put Ordinance 20-02, the sale of real property owned by AEB Coal Bay School Building, on the floor.
I'll second it, just Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Before we go into the public hearing, Annie already went through this, so are there any other comments from the assembly oil public hearing? Okay, public hearing is now open on Ordinance 20-02. Okay, hearing no public comments. Question on Ordinance 2002?
Carol?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Was it you or me?
Me? Yes.
Your question.
Yeah.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Oh.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So item 9, we don't have any new ordinance before us, so item 10, resolutions. So we need a motion and a second to bring Resolution 20-22 to the floor.
Move Resolution 20-22, authorizing the mayor to negotiate a
second by Chris.
Understanding between the borough of Coal Bay and tribes.
Okay. And it was seconded by Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll back in assembly. Before you, Resolution 22, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the Aleutians East Borough, the City of Coal Bay, and Eastern Aleutian Tribes for the Coal Bay Clinic construction project. And I'll let Mary go ahead and explain this.
Well, so, Mayor and Assembly, as you know, the Borough, the City, and Eastern Aleutian Tribes have participated in planning and development of the Coal Bay Clinic project since 2012. Construction of the new clinic is expected to begin in 2020. The parties seek to memorialize their understanding of each party's duties and responsibilities for the project going forward. Roles and responsibilities are defined with respect to construction and ongoing operation and management of the facility following the completion of the project. I've listed here in the agenda statement general points of interest, so I'll just go over the top ones for each party. So, the borough shall plan, design, and oversee construction of the project using its own resources and contractors. We'll be developing RFPs, doing contracts for all aspects of the construction portion of this project. each shall operate the facility as a primary health care clinic and enter into an MOA with the city for use and operation of the facility as a health clinic. And the city shall accept full ownership of the constructed improvements and complete ownership of the facility upon completion and enter into that MOA with EAT, as I mentioned. There's additional information on the MOU draft that's attached to this resolution in your packet, so feel free to look that over. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Questions for Mary? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Brenda.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. It's going to be fun watching this thing get put up this year. Resolution 20-17, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Robertson, Montague, and Eastop to provide legal services to participate in litigation filed on August 7, 2019 by the trustees for Alaska against the Department of Interior in the amount not to exceed $92,750. We need a motion and a second.
I'll move to bring 2017 to the floor.
Okay.
I'll second it, Chris.
Second by Ingrid. Before we have discussion, you want to go into this, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. In assembly, before you use Resolution 2017, this is Robertson, Montague, and Eastow are requesting authority and funding to respond to the current complaint and related litigation documents filed by the trustees for Alaska to set aside the agreement for the exchange of lands between the Department of Interior and the King Cove Corporation in an amount not to exceed $92,750. The relationship would be between the borough and the contractual compliance, I guess, and funding relationship for this would be between the borough and Robertson, Montague, and Eastow, and then the legal and technical tasks conducted will represent the King Cove Whole Bay Group, which consists of the Aleutians East Borough, the King Cove Corporation, the Egdow Tribe, the Native Village of Belkoski, the City of King Cove, and the City of Cold Bay. The attorney's strategy will be to intervene exclusively through the King Cove Corporation and join the Department of Justice in defending the agreement. Current litigation status is as follows. August 7, 2019, the plaintiffs filed their complaint against the Department of Interior and Secretary Bernhardt to invalidate, vacate, and set aside the agreement, which was signed on July 12, 2019, between the Department of Interior and the King Cove Corporation. Plaintiffs also sent a 60-day notice letter under the Endangered Species Act to set up a claim under the Endangered Species Act, later in the lawsuit. Following 60 days, on about October 6, 2019, plaintiffs are expected to file an additional ESA count to add to the complaint. As I mentioned during the work session, it's really hard to predict the overall timing of all this, but we anticipate, or the attorneys anticipate, that October 6, 2019, the federal defendants must file an answer to plaintiff's complaint. In October 2019, we would intervene in this case and support Secretary Bernhardt's action to sign our agreement. November, December 2019, DOJ must file their administrative record, and then the case moves into summary judgment based on the administrative record filed by DOJ. So the scope of work includes a couple things, which is contacting DOI, DOJ, preparing the legal documents to file a motion to intervene, drafting a summary judgment and conduct legal research, coordination with the State of Alaska Department of Law attorneys, and then there's some contingency plans or contingency funds associated there for anything that's unanticipated and for travel expenses. So the cost for these services is $92,750, and the funds for this are available in the borough's King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant that's currently in our financials. With that, if there's any questions.
Question for Adam.
This is Chris, if I could talk. Yeah, I know we talked about in the workshop about possibly an executive session on this, legal things, but I think we should just move on with what we have. I think if we wait around, the price could go up, plus executive session, you're going to have to, we're all going to have to meet somewhere, so we're talking about expenses there. You know, it's lined out in this resolution very well as to what this resolution is going to do, what this money is going to fund, the control that we have. So I approve this resolution without any further things added to it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Paul?
Yeah. I believe in the executive session we were just talking in general terms about a possible executive session when we're in Anchorage all at the same time, so it would be no additional cost. But and if the assembly passes it here in this meeting, the funding, we did also talk about in the workshop about how the court will be additional information available October 6th. And that information probably will be before us on an agenda item and, during the October meeting, which will be after October 6th. So and the administration is keeping track of the billing, and I'm sure we'll get an update then, too. So I know at this time I'll support the resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Any other comments? Hearing none, question on Resolution 2017?
Warren.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha? Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So before us is Resolution 2018, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Mugvik Development Corporation for the Cold Bay Bracing Project at the Cold Bay Terminal, not to exceed $200,000, and authorizing appropriation of $200,000 from the AMLET account for this project. We need a motion in a second.
Move Resolution 2018.
Thank you, Ingrid. We need a second.
I'll second it.
This is Brenda. I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So we have Resolution 2018 before us. Annie, you have anything you want to add?
Yes, so as Mayor Ostrbeck mentioned, Resolution 2018 is before you. As you know, the borough owns the Cold Bay Terminal, and we have the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, who leases a portion of the second floor. FAA did conduct a facility condition assessment, and based off of that, it was determined that there was a severe concern with the observation pop-outs in the FAA control room, and that it, in general, the pop-outs do not appear to be properly braced laterally, and they experience excessive movement. So last year, in May of 2018, the borough did consult with FAA and hire Design to Last to review and analyze it, conduct a wind analysis for the pop-outs, and do a design. We went out for a request for quotes to contractors and received two responses. One was from Pogvik Development Corporation in the amount of $188,210, and the other was from SR Bales Construction in the amount of about $190,000. The cost exceeded our expectations at that time, and we decided not to pursue it, with the understanding we'd have to revisit it later. Recently, we have been in contact with Dowell and asked them to revisit the project, and based off of numerous conversations, we've opted to renegotiate with Pogvik this year based on their bid from last year. So we are working with them. The quote they provided is $188,210, and we recommend allotting this about $200 to cover this and any project contingencies that happen. The borough has reinitiated contact with Design to Last to help answer questions as well. Since funds were not appropriated for this bracing project in FY20. The borough has determined that there's approximately $500,000 in the borough's AMLIP account that were previously invested in money market accounts and CDs that were payback appropriations for the Cold Bay Terminal project, and that they're unrestricted funds that can be used for this. So administration recommends appropriating the $200,000 from the AMLIP to cover the work, our engineering architect fees, and any contingencies that may occur. Another thing is we are working with FAA very closely on this project. Since we'll be in their space, we need to coordinate with them on making sure that we have the proper escorts and authorization to be in their area. And they mentioned that they may be able to fund up to 20 to 25% of the project, about $45,000 of this. Not set in stone, but it's something we're working at where they would reimburse us for this after the project's complete. So anyway, with that, the borough recommends authorizing this resolution. If there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
This item, of course, was discussed in the workshop a little bit, but I've been in the FAA side, but I can't remember how many of these overhangs there are. If there's just a couple in the FAA side, or if in the Weather Service side there was a couple, I don't know. But it seems kind of high for some pipe, but I guess the way we do things, I guess I'm supporting this, but how many overhangs do we have?
Two
in the FAA side, and how many in the weather side?
No, two is total.
Two total. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Yeah, we've gone, I and Annie have gone round and round on this. Doug Amo into it. I had the same concerns that it was high, but by the time we got done with it, we couldn't find any lower bid. So we're kind of at that point where we need to get this done before the airlines move in, otherwise it's going to be a cluster over there. Anyhow, there's no other questions. You want to call a question on Resolution 2018?
Oh.
Yes.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Warren.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Bailey.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are down to item 11, new business, the quarter two Aleutians Eastboro strategic plan. I'll turn this over to Annie.
Mr. Mayor, after back in the assembly, in the packet is a vision navigation chart with the updates for the quarter two strategic plan, which was June 1st through August 31st. There's a lot of changes in here, items that have been completed and moved around, which is exciting because we're actually using this and showing progress. I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but if you do have any questions, please let me know.
Okay. But all the little black lines I have to draw, I wore out two magic markers.
Well, I know over the last 2 years, our two main priorities have been King Cove Road and the Akatan little breakwater. And I assume under this update, we're still pushing hard to kind of complete those items too. And they continue to be our two important items for my off-base.
Correct. And the King Cove project, Access Road project, actually isn't on this list, but it is just something that we continuously do. The Coondock Breakwater is on here. There's been a few changes in the items on here and how we're moving forward, but that is still one of our main priorities moving forward.
And then, Mr. Mayor, is there action required on this?
No, this is an informational thing as to where we are at this time. And I think probably, so nobody forgets that we have a couple other I think when we were doing these planning sessions, a couple of things came out is the assembly always voiced their opinion on
half-finished projects, which we have a couple of. So I think those are higher on our priority, too, you know. And one of them is finishing the new boat harbor in Sandpoint, and the other one is putting that second float into the Actan Harbor. So those are up there also. Just haven't been talked about a lot, but as you know, the Sandpoint Harbor, we're at 100% on that one, so we just need to find money and go out to bid. I believe, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Actan Harbor design is also there on that one, isn't it?
Correct, yeah, it's completed. We just need the funds to finish it.
So I mean, those are, I guess, pick a whole shovel ready. Okay. So if there's no more on quarter two, I guess we could start reports and updates. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osbrack and Assembly. Before you use my report for this packet, a few additions. We are doing a ton on the school work. So one of the projects is the Sandpoint School painting. Kukar Construction arrived in Sandpoint in August, and they have been working extremely hard to get a lot done. So there was a really good weather window there. I anticipate by the time they finish this season, they'll probably be between 50 to 75% complete on this, which is great, and then they'll come back in the spring and finish it. But they are waiting on the windows to arrive next week in September 19th, and hopefully if there's a nice weather break, they'll install those. But a lot of the lower elevation of that facility has been sealed, and the primer's on, and a lot of the areas have been painted and completed. So they're moving extremely fast in such a short amount of time, and they've, I believe, Emil would know more than me, but I believe they've been doing a really good job, and the quality of work has been really high, and they've been a pleasure to work with, too. So just an update on that. The Accutan School, we have hired Bearing Industrial to go out there and do that, along with their subcontractors. They are scheduled to arrive in Accutan today, and their equipment is scheduled to arrive tomorrow, and they'll start working on that immediately. And the work includes electrical, mechanical, and control work. So that'll start this week, which is fantastic. We're looking at a few other things. Emil has been working hard with Long and the mechanical engineer at AMC on the Sandpoint pool mechanical area. They identified a separate problem from items that occurred last year, and they're working really hard on getting that. So we're hoping to have that work started within the next week or two and getting that problem resolved. We're also looking at putting in new doors at the Sandpoint School and relocating the mechanical hardware on that. We're working on that as well. There's about 13 doors there, and then it takes a special entity to move that hardware over because it's got to be done in a particular way or it won't work. So we're working on that as well. So there's a lot going on with schools. I really want to thank Emil and Mary and Dal and Alvin for all their work on this because it's been a real big team effort to make sure we're not missing things on all this work. Cold Bay Terminal, we have met with the airlines again on September 4th. We're extremely close to having the lease negotiation completed. Raven actually just got back to me with their comments, so we're meeting tomorrow to go over that, and I hope to have that signed within the next 2 weeks, which would be fantastic. We have started the terminal improvements in there. We've ordered airport seating. We've ordered the conveyor belt. Yesterday I ordered the ticket counter. Emil has been ordering items that he needs to do, the improvements he's doing, so we are getting that in place. And we're setting up a schedule to make sure everybody arrives when they're supposed to and the work's getting completed in order so we don't have the electrician coming out when they're not supposed to do their work. So we're working on that, and hopefully we can get that completed soon and get someone moved in a relatively quick time frame. So a lot's happened there. There's a King Cove Road update, which I've already discussed during that resolution discussion, and then I just provided a State of Alaska update, which you have seen before in a prior email, but Mark Hickey provides us you know, updates, and as of August 19th, there were a lot of changes that the governor did, and a lot of it was vetoing the addition of the school bond debt reimbursement funding, resulting in a reduction of school debt reimbursement funding by 50% for FY20, which affects us by taking about $328,000 out of our operating budget. It also eliminated all the harbor bond debt reimbursement for False Pass and Accutan, and that was about another probably around $200,000-$300,000 there. So we did get impacted, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But we are going to keep an eye on this because it's still not set in stone because it could still change. And then we're trying to anticipate things already for FY21, like maybe him going after the shared state fisheries tax or something like that. So we're already trying to anticipate next year. A few other items. The Alaska Municipal League Annual Local Government Conference is occurring in November, so I included information in here if you're interested in going. I highly recommend the newly elected officials training for anyone that's gone already, hasn't gone already. I actually attended that last year, and I thought it was extremely helpful and something that may be of interest to the Assembly to go to. So I'll just put a plug in for that. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Annie on her report? Not? Mary.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. So first, just a quick update on the clinic project. So obviously the Assembly just approved Resolution 2022 for the MOU with the City of Cold Bay and Eastern Ocean Tribe. So following this meeting, we'll work on finalizing that MOU and getting that signed, which will complete items E13 and E16 of the strategic plan, which is great. Other work for the clinic this month has included coordination with the state of Alaska and the city on updating the DOT lease for the project site. And I will be working on submitting the construction plans to the state fire marshal and completing the RFQ for project management services. So project is moving along nicely and within the schedule, so it's really exciting. And then just another small addition, I did include at the end of my report a memo outlining the changes that were implemented into the clinic design. This was at the request of an Assembly member last month, so feel free to take a look at that. I've also included the updated floor plan that implements some of the more of the structural design changes that we put into the plan. So feel free to take a look, and then if you guys have any questions either today or following the meeting, just contact me. Another one of my strategic plan projects is a Sandpoint school grant project. So following the approval of the Resolution 2013 at last month's meeting, we engaged with Dowell for their grant application services for this project. We have held a project kickoff meeting with them already. They've been in contact with the folks at CERC trying to figure out what kind of documents we either already have or what we'll need for the actual grant application itself. We do have another follow-up meeting with them next week, and at that point we'll know which path we'll take in terms of figuring out which grant application we need to submit and how much that will cost. So I will have more information on that project at next month's meeting. And then one more project that isn't on here is the False Pass Harbor House design. We do have a meeting with the city scheduled tomorrow, actually, so we'll get that moving as much as we can and hopefully get that RFP for the design itself and construction posted next week. So fingers crossed, but we do have a meeting with them tomorrow, so moving along. Any questions on projects so far? Okay, great. So other items, just really quick. I know Annie went over a lot of the projects we've been working on, but been helping with the school projects, terminal lease negotiations, and tenant improvements. Had a meeting with folks on the Okundaka Breakwater project, working on Fox Pass Harbor issues, and then, of course, Assembly meeting prep. I did attend the AML Summer Conference in Soldotna this year. I've listed some agenda topics that were included in the meeting, so if you would like more information about what was discussed there, please let me know. And just a plug for the Opioid Misuse Task Force planning meeting. It was scheduled for October. They have rescheduled it until January, so I do plan on attending that in January. So give more updates when that occurs. Other than that, that's pretty much it. So if you have any questions, let me know. Thanks.
Questions for Mary? Okay. Thank you,
Jordan, Jordan has a question. Mayor Osterbach.
Oh, the task force meeting, was that was supposed to be in King Cove early next month? Okay.
Yes. Right. And it got scheduled to end of January.
Okay, because our police chief's gone, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just another comment on that. They are going to do, I believe, the same time frame. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but I believe they're going to do more of a community meeting in King Cove for that. So if anyone has any questions on that specific meeting, I think it's going to be at the same time frame. Just contact Kasia or Rachel at EAP.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, to add to that standpoint, they did have a DEA task force out here and met. I think there were actually 10 people that came. Two were pilots, so eight out of different agencies. And they were from Texas, Idaho, Washington, two out of Alaska. But anyway, during the conversations that we had, there was the Chagan Tribe was there, City of Sandpoint, myself, and school superintendent and principal. And they didn't have any knowledge of that meeting that was going to take place here, so they are going to be in contact, I think, with EAP and possibly, now with it rescheduling, I don't know what their plan is, but they'll possibly also try and schedule themselves into that to take part at that conference that got rescheduled. Just information. Okay. Thank you. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. One of the big projects that I have been working on for a while is the AEB annual report, which was mailed out to residents in our communities at the end of last month. So that was pretty exciting. It included information on a number of projects, including the Acatan Harbor, the Yacoum Dock and Breakwater, the Cold Bay Clinic, the terminal building in Cold Bay, the False Pass Harbor and Harbor House, the King Cove Access Project, the Nelson Lagoon Dock, the Sandpoint Harbor Float Design, bond service debt information, fisheries management and advocacy, as well as school building assessments and repairs. So I'd like to thank our administration as well as staff members for the contributions to this report. It contained a lot of information, and some of it took quite a bit of time to gather, so it was definitely a team effort. So thank you, everybody who helped out. I really appreciate it. Right now I'm working on the latest edition of In a Loop, which will hopefully go out at the end of the day tomorrow. It contains a number of stories. One is on the 2020 census, describing the importance of participating in that information. You may remember we had a presentation a number of months ago to the Assembly. So this just describes in a little more detail why it's so important for people to participate in this count, the number of federal dollars that come to Alaska. And so that's one story. Another one is on a recent meeting that Tiffany Jackson of Sandpoint attended that was hosted by the National School Boards Association. It was a summer leadership seminar that occurred last month and a number of presentations about the importance of trust and strong personal leadership. Another story was on APIA's Tribal Child Support Program, and they are actually encouraging more people to apply for their program. They have a smaller caseload than the state of Alaska, so they're able to give more individualized attention. And they also have, it's a unique program because it focuses on certain aspects of the region. So it's definitely worth looking into. Another story was on the an app that APIA recently created, two apps actually, for the Unagam Tenu language. It's both for the Eastern and Atka dialect. So it's really interesting, and it's kind of interesting to have this app for a modern way of people being able to have this resource and learn more about the language. Another story is about the City of King Cove and how they're installing two new playgrounds this fall. One's going to be in the new Rams Creek subdivision, And another one will be next to the old school. The city started a fundraising campaign and received an impressive outpouring of support. And they were also selected to receive funding for the Rams Creek Playground through Disney's National Recreation and Park Association. There were other major donors that included the King Cove Docket 369 Committee, the Rasmussen Foundation, and Samson Tug and Barge. There's another one that Mayor Osterbach brought to my attention that we're including in this, and we also had in Fish News. It's called the Rural Energy for America, or REAP program. They recently awarded grants to fishing vessel owners of the Bristol Bay Fleet who are planning to use the funds to upgrade their vessels with refrigerated seawater chilling systems and other energy efficiency equipment. And they were able to access this grant through a Swampseed program. So Swampseed is still offering this reduced cost energy audit for eligible businesses, so it's definitely worth looking into. And lastly, another story that we're going to have in the loop, but also ran in Fish News yesterday, has to do with the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit in Juneau, January 21 through the 23rd of 2020. The AEB is Natural Resources Department plans to sponsor two local young fishers to attend this summit. The applicants can be 18 to 35, and they will be selected for AEB-funded travel. Based on documented involvement in the fishing industry, along with a one-page letter of interest. So this is a great opportunity for young fishermen to apply for this if they're interested. Another project I am working on is completing the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbach for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters, which is going to be in Juneau. I just received some information from Tuna Scanlon regarding the Akutan Harbor Power Project, so I'll have the latest details on that. I've also spoke with George Keeler about getting some recent photos for the dock renovation project in Sandpoint. And other than that, I'm going to be working on a white paper that regarding the False Pass Airport, and that'll be another project I'm working on. Just got some information from Mark Hickey. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Any questions at this time? And I'm waiting for my PowerPoint through probably another week or so. Anyway, thank you, Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the Assembly, my report's also in your packet. I'll try to hit the highlights, maybe a couple of additions. Laura mentioned the Alaska Young Fishermen's Summit. We've done it in the past. We're hoping to send a couple people again in Juneau and January. I did not budget for this, and so we're doing a fundraiser. We'll be raffling cases of seafood, and that'll start in October and raffle drawing in December. A couple updates, the Pink Salmon Disaster Relief Funds, limited entry salmon permit holders should have those applications in hand, and they're due to Pacific States Marine Fishery Commission by October 31st. Permit holders need to list crew members on the application so that the crew can apply by the crew deadline of January 31st. There's a link to a frequently asked questions, and there's a number I can give you if you didn't get an application you thought you should have. That you can call, you have to leave a message, and that's the only appeal process that I know about. On the Bear Lake survey, the McClintock surveyors have completed their field work, and Bill McClintock wanted to thank the Port Moeller Peter Pan staff and Bear Lake Lodge for their helpfulness in that project. And as Annie mentioned, we've been completing strategic plan outcomes. Under groundfish fisheries, the pollock sea season closed on Sunday. The D season opens on October 1st, and until the quota of 11,590 metric tons is caught or November 1st. Next year there will be only two seasons rather than the four that we have this year. The federal pequod B season began on September 1st and runs through November 1st for trawl, December 31st for pot cod, pot gear. The federal pequod jig season apparently is still open, although 95% caught. Also, the state black rockfish jig is open, and there is also trawl opportunity for arrowtooth flounder and
and flatfish that is not usually accomplished. I'll be attending the crab and groundfish plan teams meetings next week. The Eastern Bering Sea bottom trawl survey is out. Bristol Bay red king crab is down. Opies are up. It doesn't look like there's going to be a Bering Sea tanner, but we'll see next week and then in the council meeting in October. Charlotte will attend the plan team meetings in November, and we'll both attend an industry scientist survey collaboration meeting in Homer. And I'm also working for the long term on a memo to possibly establish a Bering Sea State Waters fishery that we are not finished with. North Pacific Council meeting in Homer starting September 30th. They'll be taking final action on the observer fee. I'm starting to think that they should not raise that fee. If anybody in the assembly has ideas on that, I think it would be contrary to what we need. They're going to be reviewing the observer deployment plan for next year, taking final action on Bering Sea crab, and looking at the groundfish specs for the first stage. So we lost somebody. And they are taking final action to reclassify sculpins, which I've made a lot of fun of, but it takes them out of a directed fishery and into the ecosystem component. There are several papers on Bering Sea cod, and Deputy Commissioner Rachel Baker should be giving her position on Gulf rationalization. So that'll be interesting. Also, the council will be reviewing the trawl EM exempted fisheries permit that Charlotte has done a lot of work on. And speaking of the assistant director, there was a mariculture workshop in Kodiak this week, and I've been informed by my sources that her application for the AEB was presented as a shining example of how to present a permit. So good job, Charlotte. And last up, the Alaska Board of Fishery proposal books are out. This year's Kodiak, Upper and Lower Cook Inlet, and statewide King and Tanner Crab statewide meetings in March. There are a couple proposals. Chignik's trying to separate themselves as far as Gulf King Crab and Gulf Tanner Crab from Kodiak and Area M, and those are the ones that are kind of affect us. And speaking of Chignik, agenda change requests, ACRs were posted last week, and ACR number 5 from the Chignik Intertribal Coalition proposes to further curtail fishing in the Dolgoy area, and Mayor Osterbach will be submitting comments on behalf of the AEB. I've included information how others can submit comments. You cannot give oral testimony at the work session. Written comments are due October 8th. One correction in my report. I did not attend the ASME Board of Directors meeting, teleconference. I can answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Yeah, this is Warren here. I got one.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, Ernie, is there any talk about this cod fishery taking place up out off of Port Muller now? That seems like to me they're kind of stepping on their own wallet, and the dollar bills are flying out from when they're going to go catch king crab here in a month or so, right? I don't understand. Why are those boats up there now?
You've got me. I do know at the council meeting there are 4 papers to talk about Bering Sea crab. This is not the state fishery. This is the federal fishery, I'm assuming. The state fishery doesn't start.
Yeah, it is the federal fishery, but, man, it seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot to me. I was looking on the AIS, and there's a hell of a fleet out there. They're unloading in Harrington Bay to get a processor in there. I wouldn't doubt, I don't know if Peter Penn's operating there, Port Muller, but... it's quite the operation going out there, and I was just, I just thought I'd ask you about that, because that looks a little concerning there for when they're going to have their king crab season here, and I know that, like Alusha got a little crab they get put away in heat over here, but, okay, Ernie, thank you for your report. That was good to hear, and then on Chignik again, I guess we'll just have to play the game.
Yeah, on the ACRs, it's it's whether they put it on the agenda or not, so it's not a big deal at this point. And as far as the Bering Sea cod is kind of a big deal at the October meeting, so we'll be paying close attention. What they're doing on the grounds, I'm not fully up to speed on. Thanks.
Any other questions for Ernie? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Charlotte.
Hi. Okay, well, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, I will start by talking about the mariculture project. The Sandpoint permit application received one comment from the Department of Fish and Game. It's pretty standard stuff. It's some suggested stipulations that will go into their operating permit, so it's not particularly relevant to the actual DNR lease, but they included it anyway, which I guess is standard. I did actually hear back from the Army Corps about an hour ago, and it sounds like everything went smoothly for their letter of permission, and so they should have that wrapped up this week. So we'll have that taken care of. And I would also add, I submitted a budget amendment request with NFWF for this project, and it took a few months because there was some changeover in the grant manager, but it was approved, and so I'll be moving forward with some more work on that project. Yesterday, I met with the Alaska Sea Grant agent, Melissa Good, who was a co-PI on the Phase 2 project that we think is funded. It's not official still, but it sounds like it will be funded. So we met to talk about the status of the permit and some of the first steps in the upcoming Phase 2 project that we'll be working on. I am also working for this current project. I'm working on a research permit to collect some fertile kelp blades to have sent into a research lab to test for viability of spore release, which is a lot of jargon, just to say to make sure that our kelp is good and will produce sporophytes. So I'm in the process of doing that. That's a much shorter permit application. It's usually a 30-day turnaround for small research permits with the Department of Fish and Game. I also met yesterday with Andrew Crow and Ray Morgan of the UAA Alaska Cooperative Development Center. They were able to set aside some of their funding from their USDA Cooperative Development Grant to look into building a financial model for kelp mariculture, and they produced their first draft to me yesterday. It looks really good. It's still a little rough around the edges, but I think it'll be a really useful tool for any stakeholders who are interested in kind of understanding what it takes to really have a profitable mariculture farm. So I've given him some suggestions and some things I'd like to see in the model, and I think I will have that available for the Assembly to review during the next meeting. I also attended the Alaska Mariculture Task Force meeting that they have quarterly in August and provided some updates to the state about our projects and what we have planned. I did include a link of a document they produced that talks about opportunities in Alaska and sort of the future of mariculture as the state sees it. I put that image there is just a little blurb from the document of their 20-year production and economic impact goals. Kelp is a big chunk, as you'll see. But so are other things. Okay, so before I move on, does anybody have any questions about mariculture? No. Okay. Oh, sorry. I would also add that I just got notice from the Salt and Stall Kennedy grant that we submitted a letter of interest for, recommending us to move forward with a full proposal. So I will be working on some of that to present to the Assembly via resolution to make sure it's something the Assembly is interested in. So that'll be on the next agenda. Okay, moving on to EM. I attended the Trawl EM committee in Portland at the Pack States facility. There was a lot of discussion. It was a two-day meeting. Some of the highlights were discussion of a national NIMS cost metrics spreadsheet. So something that they would use nationally across all of the different EM programs. There was a lot of controversy about that because they're just, all the projects are so very different, and the way that they have it structured currently does not accurately reflect how much EM costs. So there were lots of comments submitted to NIMS at that meeting, mine included. There were some very important learning lessons from the West Coast whiting fishery about how to structure an EFP to make sure that the fishermen are protected. And then also just some general next steps of the EM committee and how the EFP process will move forward. So I've included a link to the agenda and then my full report on the meeting for anybody who's interested in reading that with detail. The EFP itself, we submitted, on 8:30 we submitted the most recent draft of the EFP that had NIMS and Alaska Fishery Science Center comments that we edited for. And like Ernie said, I will be presenting this EFP draft and our project to the council in October. So I'll be meeting with the EFP subgroup to develop that presentation and also working closely with PSC to develop performance standards that the fishermen will all have to abide by under the EFP. So that is very slowly moving forward, but it's in good shape. And we've worked really closely with Saltwater and PSC on this process, so I think it's turning out kind of how we expected. So status on the EM, the current Western, we're going to call it the Western Gulf of Alaska 1 project, which is the 2019 pilot project. So Saltwater has been sending texts to Sandpoint and King Cove to try and get vessels updated with their EM equipment, but because the salmon groundfish turnover transition has been a little bit crazy this year, that has been particularly challenging, but I think we're like 70% done getting the vessels updated. We also were able to get Silver Bay to agree to pay upfront for EM on their tenders, so that way we can be collecting data this fall season. However, there has been some difficulty about determining what tenders they'll be using, so I've been working closely with Saltwater to try and find a more flexible EM system that can be easily moved between tenders on the drop of a hat. So that way, if we need to switch tenders very quickly, that's possible without losing data. I also have included a progress report. It's an informal progress report. Somebody asked me a while back if there would be an update, like a formal progress report. So that is included. For the Western Gulf 2 project, so the upcoming grant that we submitted for, we should know by November if we'll be receiving funding from NIFWIF to continue the project. I don't know why we wouldn't. It's a council directive, and we've already conducted successfully the first component of the project. So we did get two additional catcher vessels to also voluntarily pay for and install EM systems this year so that they would be eligible to participate in the EFP for starting in 2020, so like be able to opt in for the EFP this coming October-November deadline. So that's exciting. That means we pretty much have the entire CV fleet covered, which is a big deal, so 100% coverage, very exciting. And we are also including a small component within that grant to look at automated identification of salmon in the plants. So right now, funding shoreside observers is proving to be a little bit cost prohibitive, but if we're able to do automation within the plants, then that would reduce the cost significantly. So we're going to do a small pilot project also. Okay. Any other questions on that? No. Good. So for groundfish, I'm continuing to work on a trawl survey that I'm hoping we can just collect some baseline data on the priorities, values, and recommendations of stakeholders. It's been a little bit of a busy month, so I haven't made as much progress as I'd hoped, but I'd like to have something in front of the Assembly next month. And I think it will be useless regardless of what Rachel Baker and the department come out with this coming October. As Ernie mentioned, You will also be attending the industry AFSC research collaboration meeting that will occur in October. I've been sitting on the subgroup that's trying to figure out if this project would be feasible, and I just want to make sure that our guys, our fleet is represented, so I've been sitting in and trying to give my two cents on it. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, so we'll see. In October, the Fisheries Science Center is expected to come out with a core list of research priorities, so that will be the basis of our effort. If some of the surveys, or like the third boat in the Gulf for the trawl surveys is not included, that would be a really important thing for us to address and maybe of interest to our fishermen to participate in an effort like this if it means that we can fund the surveys. Other than that, I am working on a very brief white paper on the status of jellyfish in Alaska because they're taking over the ocean, and they actually do have really important implications for our fisheries because they're pretty voracious predators and have very few natural predators. So look forward to that. And I'm also meeting with the Food Bank of Alaska tomorrow morning to discuss how we might be able to provide some of the infrastructure in the schools and the local pantries to accept PSC donations. So that would be halibut and king salmon. So that is also exciting. Anyhow, if there are any questions, I will take them now.
Questions for Charlotte? Okay. Thank you for your report. And it sounds like, I'm not really sure, but you might have some spare time on your hands. If you do, let me know, and I'll work with Bernie, and we'll try to do that.
My report is never going to get longer than 2 pages, I promise.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds like you're doing a lot of work there. So.
Emil.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. As Annie touched on before, we're working quite a bit with Kukar and the whole Cold Bay terminal renovation and pop-outs and everything there. Just trying to stay ahead of them here in the paint project. We're repairing, you know, replacing some of the rot before they get to come by and seal it and paint it. Right now, I think they got most of the primer on the building on the lower levels anyways, and quite a few of the areas are almost up to 100%, which they're doing a very good job, very happy with their work. They're very thorough and trying to seal it up and be a good paint project for quite some years now after they spray it on and they back roll it. And they do a really good job. So, and then going to be going over to Cold Bay Terminal here pretty soon to do my part of the renovation or remodeling so that we could get ready to get and renovate that. And just ordering materials out there and getting things coming. My OSHA requirements on my strategic plan got punch list up and running, just seeing the money to be coming out of our savings account there at AMLJA and doing any of that. Looking for a cheaper way that I could get that 8-foot dish out to King Cove for their internet, concrete and pole. It's kind of a, you know, big deal. Not sure on how, you know, things are getting sent out there now for such a big item. And our system here that we have going, it seems like it's working very well if we don't have server problems in the server rooms. But other than that, the internet is running great so far, and hopefully it works just as good over in King Cove, especially when they get ready to put up their new satellite as well. And working with Long Engineers with that pool vent and fans, the old pan that's in there that's supposed to catch the water and drain it is rusted out, and that's why we're getting the problems of the water coming into the school and not draining properly. And just try to get it to a negative pressure, and we're not pushing all that moisture back into the building envelope. Now we'll be trying to take that moisture out of there. It's, you know, looking like we get going on it. Looks like they may be able to jump and tackle that with the new fans and everything and get that up and going. CNR Enterprises is coming out to Falls Pass and King Cove to do their annual fire inspection. Looking like maybe October now. And I guess the state fire marshals were out in King Cove and Falls Pass. And the only thing that we needed to bring up on that is the annual inspection. So, and that's going to be out there. Get that taken care of. Chinook will be here in Sandpoint. They couldn't come out with CNR when they did. But they'll be here Monday, I do believe. And they'll look at the sprinkler system here. Bearing contractors were, I don't know what the weather's like out in Accutan, but they were supposed to show up in Accutan today, and hopefully that they could do quite a bit of the work without disrupting too much of the class and school out there as that progresses, and they should be there for almost probably a month. They said the latest they should have everything done with probably end of October, so it'd be nice to see get all that stuff taken care of. With the HVAC and plumbing and electrical work out there. That's about it for what I have for my report now.
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil? Well, that finishes our report. So as you can see, everybody's pretty busy. I think Emil's doing a really good job here working with the crew that's in working on the school at this time, trying to stay ahead of them and get orders in and working on all the other projects that we got gone. So basically the whole staff, I think, is fairly busy. There's a lot going on, a lot of projects, and it really looks it looks good. So I want to thank all the staff for all the work they're doing. So we're down to assembly comments. We wear everybody out. Is there any more comments?
Are we still going to have, or look at having a get together in December again?
Yes.
Is that on our plan? It is. Okay, perfect.
Other comments? Ingrid.
I just wanted to echo what Emil was saying. The CUCAR people have been amazing at school, and they've really worked hard to be respectful of class and learning time, and they've been doing a really nice job, so it's been a pleasure to work with them.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good reports on them all over the place, so which is nice. Any other assembly comments?
This is Chris here. What's the status on these generators? I know we were going to try to see if Avtec or something. I mean, we're getting a lot of rain out here again. I know there's some holes drilled in there, but the longer they sit, you know, the more that they're not going to really be used for anything. So I just was wondering what the status was on those.
Yeah, Chris, actually I had a conversation Thursday, I think, with Mary on those, and she, at that time, was waiting for somebody from Avtec to get back to her. So, Mary, have you had any luck on that?
Yeah, I spoke with a gentleman who I've been working with at Avtec. They are still interested, which is great. So, Glenora's been helping with shipping logistics from King Cove to Seward. We're just getting some numbers back for that to figure out how we can do that, but it seems like it's something reasonable and doable, so within the next week or two, I'm going to be working with this gentleman to see how we can get those shipped to Seward. So we'll have more info probably in the next couple weeks.
Okay, great.
I just was curious of whether it's getting a lot more moisture out here and stuff, and I know they've got mold on them and stuff. So, but no, that's good that Avtec's interested, so thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. And if you hear of any vessels, you know, bigger ones that are headed for Homer or Seward, you might give Mary a call.
might be able to do it that way, or I don't know, Mary, if they can even put it on the ferry to Houma. But anyway, something to look at. But anyway, yes, we are moving forward on that. Any other comments? Okay. Public comments? No? All right. So we are down to our next meeting date, which will be October 10th, is the second Thursday. So with that, we need a motion to adjourn. Oh, we'll stay here then.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you. We are adjourned at